Our scripture reading is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And let's now turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into tonight's message. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would be sufficient for our comfort and joy, for our salvation, because that is why you have given us your word, Lord. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. We confess that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We can't even understand your gospel apart from him, apart from his Spirit. So we pray now, Lord, as you are the vine and we are the branches, Lord. Please give us ability, strength, power, Lord, to receive your gospel, to understand it, to be convicted by it, Lord, and to be transformed by it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we are on the cusp of entering the new year of 2021, I would like to look at a passage to help us start off the new year on the right foot, with the right mindset, with the right attitude, as children of light in the midst of this dark present world. The passage I would like to look at tonight is Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. And here in this text, Jesus uses two metaphors to describe believers: salt of the earth and light of the world. And I think that these two metaphors are very rich. They have a great depth of meaning as it applies to all who are in Christ. But tonight, I'd like to consider these two metaphors at a basic, fundamental level based on what the text in Matthew 5 makes obvious. So, without further introduction, let's go ahead and dive in to tonight's passage. So first, let's consider the metaphor of salt. We read in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." So here in verse 13, believers are called the salt of the earth. Now, salt is a useful element. It's useful for a variety of reasons, but primarily, from a day-to-day basis, salt is useful to us because of its savor, its taste. Because of its distinctive taste, salt is an invaluable seasoning for all kinds of food. However, according to commentators, salt in ancient Palestine, where it wasn't mass-produced, salt in ancient Palestine could be contaminated by other minerals. And when it was contaminated, what would happen to the salt? It would lose its distinctiveness. It would lose its pleasant flavor that made it so valuable. And a batch of contaminated salt, as you can imagine, was essentially useless. And it was thrown away, as you read in verse 13. It's useless, it's thrown away. A batch of pure salt is very useful, but a batch of salt contaminated and diluted with various impurities is not. Therefore, by comparing believers to salt, Jesus is addressing what makes his followers useful to his Father's glory. Salt is useful to people because of its distinctive flavor, its distinctive taste and savor. Well, believers are useful to God because of their distinctive savor. See, believers have a certain distinctive savor about them. The flavor, the essence of God's saving grace, which is unique only to them. All believers have been healed of their spiritual blindness so that they can see the glory of God in Christ through the gospel. All believers have been reconciled to God by the blood of Christ and have been consecrated to God in holiness. Consecrated to God as a people of his own possession. All believers, because of the blood of Christ, have confident access to God in worship and prayer, and all believers are recipients of God's Spirit who dwells in them, providing them with his assuring presence and granting them power to overcome sin and live in sanctified obedience to God's revealed will, which is Scripture. All believers possess a living hope immeasurably superior to the dead hope of worldly cravings and desires and passions. Therefore, all believers have this distinctive savor and zest of holiness and godliness, which distinguishes them from the world and provides evidence to the world of the salvation which the Word of God, the gospel, proclaims. But when Christians, for whatever reason, go astray and conform to the passions of their former ignorance, backsliding into the futile ways of darkness they have been delivered from by the precious blood of Christ, what's going on? Well, they've become like a batch of contaminated salt that has lost its distinctive salty savor. It becomes so contaminated by the futile ways of this world that even though they are not of the world, they taste like the world. It was the distinctive savor of holiness and godliness, which made them useful to God, because it evidenced to the world the reality of the saving power of God proclaimed in the gospel. But because they have lost much of that savor due to a backsliding into their old former ways of darkness, they have abdicated their usefulness to God's glory. See, as long as believers contaminate themselves by conforming to the futile ways of darkness, their savor of holiness and godliness is lost, and their usefulness to God cannot be restored as long as they remain in that backslidden condition. Read in verse 13, if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? And I think what Jesus means by that statement is that the essential quality that makes salt useful is its salty savor. But once that taste is lost, the usefulness of salt is lost. Now, the essential quality that makes believers useful is their holy and godly savor. You take that away, you've basically taken away what makes them useful to God in this world. And as we learned last Sunday in 1 Corinthians 11, 31 to 32, lest they judge themselves truly and repent, God will judge His backslidden children with His discipline in order to purify them of the contaminants which rob them of their distinct savor of holiness and godliness, so that they may be useful for His glory once again. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 to 32. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. It's the metaphor of salt. Now, let's move on and consider the metaphor of light. So we read on in our passage from verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, like salt, light is meant to be noticed. Light is useful because it is distinct from the darkness around it. It is noticeable on account of its illuminating nature. See, essentially, the metaphor of salt and the metaphor of light are two different ways of expressing the same basic truth. Believers are useful to God on the basis of their distinctiveness from the world around them. And when believers abdicate their distinctiveness in holiness and godliness and backslide into conformity with the world, they lose their usefulness to God's glory. It's like lighting a lamp only to cover it with a basket, as our text puts it. Just like a batch of salt that has lost its savor due to contamination is not useful, a shining lamp that is covered with a basket is not useful. We read in verse 14 that believers are a city set on a hill, shining together with the light of God's saving grace at work in their lives, transforming them, distinguishing them from the darkness all around them. There are people who have been saved from the futile ways of darkness by the precious blood of Christ. Futile ways of darkness, that life without hope and without God. They've been saved from that futile way of darkness, so that they may live as a people for God's own possession in reconciled love and faith towards Him in a world of unbelief. But once more, when believers conform to the passions of their former ignorance, backsliding into the futile ways of darkness, what have they done? They've covered the light that distinguishes them from the world, the light that evidences the reality of salvation proclaimed in the gospel. They've made themselves virtually indistinguishable from the world in darkness. They no longer stand out from the rest of the unbelieving world as they were meant to by God. No, Christians are not meant to blend in with the world living in darkness. We read in verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let the distinctive reality of God's saving grace at work in us shine before others, that they may notice the obvious difference between our lives and the lives of those who live without the light of salvation in Christ Jesus. In the original language, the word translated as good in verse 16, where we read good works, that word translated as good, the original language is kalos, which means beautiful, like beautifully good. Do not allow the distinctive, objectively beautiful works of a life devoted to the glory of our Father in heaven be overshadowed by the passions of our former ignorance. Those various lusts of the body and of the mind that once enslaved us. Those various passions that promised us joy, but actually plunged us into strife and misery. See, to allow the passions of our former ignorance to overshadow a life devoted to the glory of our Father in heaven, as we pointed out earlier, is to abdicate our usefulness to God's glory. If we are in Christ, we are useful to God when we are distinct, when we are distinct from the world in holiness and godliness. So then, as we conclude, let us remember to live as salt and light in Christ Jesus to this dark world in bondage to sin. Let's remember to live as salt and light in Christ Jesus to this dark world this new year, 2021, and every year that the Lord graciously gives us here on this earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and the commonality between salt and light is its distinctiveness. We're not meant to blend in. We're not meant to have the same savor as all the other people of the world. No, there is something distinct, different about those who are in Christ. And that difference is a life of godliness, a life reconciled to God, a life in which we belong to God as His own possession, a life in which Christ Jesus is Lord and His Word the standard by which we live. We have learned in our text for tonight, this New Year's Eve, that it is only when we are distinct that we are useful. The more distinct we are, the more useful we are for God's glory. And Lord, we pray that it may never be true of us that falling back into the futile ways of a life in darkness, that we lose our usefulness to God's glory. We pray that not only our distinction would be maintained by the power of your Holy Spirit, but would grow more and more, that we would be holy and godly before you, Lord, as you have saved us from sin and for yourself, so that you, O Lord, will be glorified in our lives, that we would be useful to you and to your purpose and the purpose of your gospel here in this present dark and evil age. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.